Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the weekday edition of the Andrew Shatkins Blog Talk Show Radio Show, Monday through Friday at 6:30, and at times 11 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday when I'm able to swing that in my schedule. And these shows are, I just want to say a few words about how I structure this show. It is politically incorrect. It's not politically correct. I aim to get facts and truth and by means of critical thinking and honest discernment. And we reject media lies, media falsehoods, and political rhetoric in this show. We aim to get at the facts, to get at the truth as much as possible through the use of our faculties. Although there is an increasing lack of thought in our society these days, I think, possibly being replaced by political code words, political rhetoric, which seems to inform many people's minds and thoughts. I am also a writer. I've written 10 books, a book on Essays in the Christian Worldview, a book, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, and a book on the parables. The first book, Essays in the Christian Worldview, has had very wide sales all over the world. It's been bought by the entire University of California and four Dutch universities and several German universities in Germany. The book on the Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy has also been bought by Harvard and several Ivy League schools. And my book on the parables also has had wide sales, and I have posted my 41 interpretations of the parables on my social media and website. I have two other books, Select Legal Topics, Volumes 1 and 2, and I am preparing to publish a book on the Psalms, which I've just completed, looking for a publisher, and also I'm working on one on the miracles in the Bible and the sayings of Christ, and I am posting the sayings of Christ on a regular basis on my website, my interpretation of those sayings. I run two radio shows, and these radio shows have a Christian orientation, and over 4,000 people from all over the world have visited my podcast show, particularly from Muslim countries in China, which I'm very pleased to say, despite the Christian orientation of the podcast. The Blog Talk Radio Show also has a Christian orientation, and many Muslims from Saudi Arabia in particular and Bangladesh, etc., do visit this show as well as my website. I also have written over 500 blogs or essays. Also have a Christian orientation. And many, many people from many countries have uploaded these blogs on academia.edu and on my website. My website is often visited also by many people from Muslim countries in China. That's as much as I want to say about myself tonight. But I'm going to talk about something that's a very delicate issue in our present society. That is, I'm going to look at the question of why I see myself as a sinner, and I know myself to be such. Many people in our modern world dislike the concept of sin, or moral wrongdoing for that matter. They don't want to be judgmental, and they will say, I'm not judging anybody, and there are no moral rules. That it seems to be the we are simply have a subjective basis for our morality, that any objective truth concerning morality. However, I don't think that's so. And looking at myself, I have concluded rightly that I'm a inadequate person, essentially. And I know that I'm a sinner. And I've come to know that, along with the idea of sin and evil and wickedness, which is rarely spoken of or referred to for the most part denied. So I have to say that I have to wish to speak of the reality of sin and evil and to note that I am a sinner. I'll tell you why I've come to this conclusion. And in our modern world, the idea of sin, I think most people would agree, that evil and wickedness is not accepted or spoken of or referred to for the most part, and is even denied. Many modern of our modern friends are quite uncomfortable with sin and evil and wickedness. But Christianity believes in and accepts the reality of sin and evil, which we believe came into the world when Adam and Eve, our first parents, gave in to the temptation of Satan in the Garden of Eden. And we believe that this did happen on some level that we don't understand, perhaps, on a cosmic level that we don't really grasp. But Adam and Eve, we are told, who were in another cosmic environment than the present Earth, gave in to the temptation of Satan in the Garden of Eden, where the appeal was to their pride that you'll be as gods. This is a great human failing, and I assure you we all share this failing about our pride and self-importance. But this can be best termed, what happened in the Garden of Eden, brought in a fall, and pain and suffering and natural disaster came into the world. And that, when we believe, because of this giving in to pride and self-importance and self-love and selfishness, it brought a fall. And sin in all its forms and manifestations came into the world, and of course, death. Now, a lot of people decline to accept these ideas. And in fact, really, don't even acknowledge the obvious reality of sin and evil. It's blatantly obvious. There's been 6-7 genocides in the past 100 years. If this isn't sin or evil and wickedness, then I really have to stop thinking and retire to my study and not talk to anybody about anything. But we do believe, rightly, that sin came into the world in some form, a manifestation. Moral wrongdoing, perhaps, could be seen as. But it's much deeper than that. I'll go into that in a minute. We believe that the death of Jesus on the cross provided humanity's salvation from sin and death. We believe that Jesus provided a solution to sin in forgiving our sins. But many people don't accept these ideas and premises. And really, I hate to say it, they don't even understand or acknowledge sin and its reality. And it is quite real. Anybody who looks around you will see nothing but wickedness and sin and evil. We see indifference. We see evil. We see wickedness. We see privation. We see indifference. These are all forms of evil and sin. And I have to note that with the last 100 years, with the Holocaust, the Armenian Genocide, Pol Pot, Rwanda, the Russian Revolution, and the Chinese Revolution, it's not easy, I don't think. It's quite a difficult jump to deny sin and evil. But a lot of people do so. They do. They want to deny it. They're uncomfortable with it. They're unhappy with it. Nobody wants to see the world as evil and sin. They want to see it as good and again and everybody nice. But that's not so. Anybody who's lived long enough knows that's really not so. And so, many people do, even in the face of the Holocaust, Armenian Genocide, Pol Pot, Rwanda, Darfur, the Russian Revolution, and the Chinese Revolution, they deny the reality of sin and moral wrongdoing or selfishness and trace this evil and wickedness to the environment. For me, the environment or genetic factors are a weak, inadequate explanation of a glaring and compelling reality and problem. More to the point, and this is really significant, I think, as I say, many people, these are to say that it's genetics or environment is really a weak explanation of a significant, glaring, and compelling reality. It's real, this wickedness and evil. It's there. It's there in front of us every day. Many people even, and it's more important to understand that you and I, and I'm talking about myself, and everybody I know are sinners and in need of the rescue of Jesus. many people will say to themselves, they're really quite good. Some people I know have said they're great. But most people kind of say, well, I'm really pretty good. I keep a job. I support my family. I don't do anybody too bad to them. I'm really quite good. And many people say, actually, they're great. Of course, this is a ridiculous analysis. Because we have to understand the years, I understand my years of inadequate behavior to my family and my neighbors. I know, and looking truly at myself and understanding what I've done, I'm a sinner in sin because I have been not driven by love of others, and really, I have been driven by love of myself, mainly, as most people are driven by self-love, self-importance, and selfishness. So the reality is, most people think rather well of themselves. Of course, this thinking rather well of themselves is not looking at the real person. They're doing the minimum. They're going to work. They're coming home. They're supporting themselves and their family, possibly. And I see a person such as myself who has really not done a great deal for other people, and I've been mostly driven by myself and devotion to myself. I see myself as a person who has demanded love from others, as many of us do, as can be gained, and giving little or no love. That's the reality. We all want love. We don't want to give too much. For me, I see a person whose goal, if time permits, is entertainment and having a good time. I do not see a person whose goal is the use of his talents and goods in the service of others, which is the ideal. So I really know I'm not much, that I am a sinner. I know this because I've taken a very hard, good look in the mirror at the real person God in Christ knows me better than anybody and cannot be hidden and will be judged. I know who I am. I'm selfish. I'm driven by self-love. My goal is taking care of myself, entertainment, having a good time, demanding love, perhaps, but giving little or no love. And this is just about all humanity. This is the reality of humanity. This is the reality of sin. This is how it is. This is the truth. We all, I think, including myself, sometime in our lives have to go take a good, Lord look at the person that God and Christ know better than we will ever know. And he knows, and we will come to know that we cannot hide who we are, and we will be judged on that basis. So I'm talking here about the reality of sin and that I am in sin. I know I am. I know I'm not much as a person. But the thing is, I also know that many other people are in the same situation. Only thing is, they don't know it. And so I have taken the trouble to take an honest look at myself. And all of us, I think, have to look in the mirror at some day at who we are, what we have done in our lives, and what we have done for others and humanity. The world and all humanity share this sinful nature, and the only salvation is in Christ. Chosen not to fool myself anymore and to take an acute look at myself and know the truth of myself, which is that I am a sinner, I am selfish, I am filled with self-love. I am filled with love for myself, but not much love for others. However, this is the reality that the world and all humanity share this situation, and the only solution is in Christ. I have chosen not to fool myself anymore, and frankly, nor is God fooled by you or me saying we're good and great. If we acknowledge who we really are, we will see we are in sin. Sin is not moral wrongdoing, though it can be, but selfishness and self-love and egotism and arrogance and pride. Anybody who chooses to deny this reality and truth are in a dream world in which, in time, must fall apart. So that's what I have to say about sin I've taken a look at myself, and perhaps we all have to take a look at ourselves, and we find who we really are. Selfish, self-driven, full of self-love, egotistical, arrogant, and full of pride. And really, we probably think we're pretty good when you get down to brass tacks. But unfortunately, if an accurate assessment finds out that humanity is not particularly good. As a matter of fact, most people in some sense are rather bad, which is why I think, ladies and gentlemen, we have to have laws, a lot of laws, because people are bad and they have to be controlled. The evil and moral wrongdoing, whatever you may define it, the sin has to be controlled by laws. It wouldn't be necessary to have these laws unless this sin and wickedness and evil were present in human nature. So I've talked about sin a bit, a very unpopular topic these days. Not something people want to deal with. As I say, they want to see themselves as good, possibly great. A number of people have told me they're great. I thought it was funny, but that's it. And now I want to talk a little bit about President Biden and a couple of his policies. Democratic Party is the party of the left, and they are a party of civil rights, and they are a party of, they claim they care greatly for poor, underprivileged people. I think they make that claim to a certain extent. But the fact of the matter is, on the issue of abortion, they take the position that a woman should have the absolute right to have an abortion, and yet they also do not acknowledge the fact that a child, whether at what stage you're talking about, I don't know, is being killed. So I asked President Biden to reassess his assessment of being compassionate and caring and loving when he allows and is in favor of abortion, which results in murder. Now, when I say it results in murder, I believe in stating the facts. I don't believe in lying or fooling people or being fooled. Or I don't believe in political rhetoric or women's rights. It's not a matter of rights. You have to weigh, yes, there is a factor of human rights, women's rights, that a woman should not be forced to have a baby, but she could have the baby and it could be set out for adoption, which many people would love, and that baby's life would be saved. You have to weigh, I think, President-elect Biden has to weigh the reality that a life is being taken against the woman's right to choose. However significant he may see that, there is a moral issue that I ask President Biden to deal with. The second thing I'm going to talk about here is President Biden's position on Muslim immigration. Now, I want to say I have no prejudice to our dear, loving Muslim brothers and sisters. They are wonderful people. I've met many of them. I've had several wonderful Muslim guests on my podcast show, a novelist and a scientist from Istanbul. And at present, I'm in a friendly relationship with a Iranian Muslim student in Iran, a very, very, very astute, intellectually astute individual. So I have great love for the Muslim people. I respect them. I have nothing against them. But again, the reality has to be dealt with that within the Muslim community, perhaps a very small minority, they are in fact killing Christians. Christians are being killed by Islamic terrorists. And I don't know exactly that this is a small minority, probably, or a thin group, but it is a fact that it happens. And Nigerian Christians are being killed by Islamic terrorists. The Coptic Christians in the Coptic Church is attacked by Islamic terrorists. Algeria's churches are being closed. Well, this is the way it is. So when President Trump took office, he dealt with a situation in which within our soil there were several Islamic terror attacks. He had no choice but to enact this travel ban. He had nothing. I don't think he has anything against anybody. And I don't have anything against any particular religion or group. I think Jesus died for them as a Christian. He gave up he suffered and died for all men and women. But the reality is that we can't just let people from these Muslim countries in en masse, because within that group, there are people who can do this. And they are doing it all over the world, whether in the form of blasphemy laws in Pakistan, recently in France, and in Austria, Muslim terrorists killed a teacher and beheaded him, and three people were killed in a Notre Dame Cathedral in Nice, and another in Avignon, and a number in Vienna. I am not attacking our dear Muslim brothers and sisters, but the reality is we cannot, as a security matter, let en masse, without vetting, I think, our Muslim brothers and sisters, most of whom, the vast majority of whom, are fine family people trying to support their families, trying to do the right thing in their lives. But there is a reality here, and it's a truth, that the government has a right to have a secure situation for their population. And within certain Muslim countries, I gave you some of them, there are instances of these kind of violent actions against Christians and possibly Jews. So I asked President Biden to reassess his position on abortion and take a more accurate look at Muslim immigration, and to see that there should be vetting, because within that community there is a small minority that engage in this terrorism. I think it's small, but it's a reality. And I have no prejudice against anybody, Hindu, Muslim. They're all children of Christ. He died for them. He loves them. And he wants to be with them in heaven, with the Jew and with the angels and archangels and all the saints. That's my position on these issues, ladies and gentlemen. And I hope you found it useful and interesting and honest. Thanks very much for your thoughts. Bye.